You know, they've never been in a hockey team in the Netherlands. They have never been, they've never seen all those things on television or heard the music. I mean, they're catching up and they're really stupid. There's always a part missing, and that will always stay like that.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Praat Nederlands met me. Today, we're diving into a topic many of you have asked about, and this is about raising multilingual children while living abroad. I'm thrilled to have my guest, Karin, with us today. Karin is a fellow expat, mother of three girls, and administrative advisor at NOB, the Dutch Foundation for Education Abroad. Welcome, Karin.
Well, thank you, Wendy. Happy to talk to a fellow expat, though we've been back for 5 years. This is also my first year not connected to an international school. I'm happy to share my personal experiences, so let's
Great.
Go.
Yeah, let's start with your story. Mom of three girls, what was it like raising them abroad and trying to keep up with the Dutch language at home?
Well, I have to say it was a very pleasant experience living abroad. I really like moving around, and the kids did most of the time as well. Yes. And what was it like to raise them and keeping Dutch at home? Well, that in the beginning when they were younger, it was easier, I have to say. But once they got older, and we've been abroad until they had the age of about 12, 14, 15, then it was definitely getting more difficult, more challenging. Now, we'll get back to that because there are probably several of reasons why it was getting more difficult. But yeah, and in the end, it's all a personal experience because three girls, three different ways of dealing with the language.
Yeah, that's quite amazing because we can compare, you know, because every child is different. And in
exactly.
Your case, you have three examples. That's amazing. So I'm very happy with that. Okay, so when you went abroad, how old were the girls?
Well, actually, I was pregnant of the first one when we went abroad. So our journeys, when we started, when we went abroad, I was about seven months pregnant of the first one. So I was completely unaware of the whole language system, of what would happen. And we thought it would be a one-off posting and we would be back in 2-3 years. And of course, that didn't happen. Yeah. And when we started to live abroad, I said, okay, I'll go for my second career because I had a business administrative background. I was working as a sales and marketing representative for some big companies. And so, well, this is the time to make a big career switch. I'll see if I can study to become a primary school teacher. And by that time, that's over 20 years ago, it was possible online. So that's how I started. And then, so once the first one was born, I started studying that from Japan. And that made me aware of the importance of language education. I think that was very helpful because from that moment on, I realized, okay, we have to do something at home. And we had the big advantage that both me and my husband are both Dutch. So from day one, it has always been Dutch at home.
So that is like really a big advantage as a teacher. No, I'm laughing because I'm a teacher as well. So it's comparable.
Yeah, easy to connect. Yeah.
And so at home, there was only Dutch.
Yeah. And well, yeah, I have that. That's yeah, was it only Dutch?
When did it change?
Because, of course, in the beginning, it was only Dutch. But quite soon, I started back working because of my study, I had to work at schools. When we moved after 3 years, the second one was born by that time as well in Japan. We moved to Singapore. Where we lived for 4 years, and there I continued my studies. I finished my studies, and I worked at the Dutch school over there for 3 or 4 days a week. So of course we needed help at home because someone had to do the babysitting, and then the first multilingual situation started to be created because even though they were very young and they until 2.5 didn't go to school. at least the first two didn't, then it was English at home because of the babysitter. So it was, but we were, especially in Singapore, we said, well, if we have the possibility to give them Dutch education, we'll go for it, because we expected then as well that we would go back in 2 or 3 years. It ended up being 4 years, but we just wanted them to be prepared. And with an English-speaking babysitter at home, a full English environment, you know, when they went to their little sports things, swimming classes, everything was English around them. So we were like, whatever we can pour into them Dutch-wise, we'll do. I have to say, by the time the third one was born in Singapore, we said, okay, this is too much for the babysitter to handle. So we'll bring her to a kind of baby group.
Yes.
And that was a Chinese baby group. So she grew up with some Chinese in her head and a bit of English as well. Before you know, you are in a completely multilingual situation. But we always said, we'll stick to Dutch at home, whatever.
And that was, would you say that was the survival thing for the Dutch language, that you kept it at home in Dutch?
Yeah, I definitely think so, because of that, they felt more connected to the Netherlands, which is, I think, very important for their cultural identity. And of course, language-wise, that's all you can do for them. If you don't do anything at home about your heritage language, your mother tongue or whatsoever, it's almost impossible to keep up with it. It was a very conscious decision, and we tried to, we did many other things as well. So it was reading to them all the DVDs. By then you couldn't download. There was no Netflix or whatsoever, no online television. So we had boxes full of DVDs all in Dutch.
Oh, great. And did you experience challenges because you have three different children? Did they fight the Dutch, or were they okay?
No, I think when they were younger, they were very okay with the Dutch. They were actually getting frustrated. I remember our second one, before being able to go to, preschool at the Dutch school in Singapore. She went 1 year to a local little local school with two-year-old toddlers. It was a kind of toddler group. And she was actually very frustrated with the fact that they were talking Chinese and English. So, I had to come to school a couple of times because she was, she was really difficult at school. So I think that was...
Because of the language, you mean?
Probably because of the language, yeah. Yes. Yeah. She couldn't express herself, and it frustrated her.
It was really frustrating.
Yeah.
Oh, poor child. Yeah. But she survived.
Yeah, she survived it. Yeah.
Right. What would you say to other parents who have the same experience? What are some tips you used in your home to keep up the Dutch? Your kids were very happy to continue with the Dutch language, but that's because of the DVDs and the...
Yeah. Just keep on talking Dutch to them, even if they and that's a later stage. I think we'll get to that when they got into puberty and we were we were living in another country again. But being positive about your heritage language, so don't make fun of it, don't make fun of the culture, just have a positive mindset about it. I kept on reading to them before bedtime, even until the age of 12. I think that was and they loved it. It was the time together and something that connected us as a family. If possible, we would watch a Jeugdjournaal with them.
Nowadays it's easier,
exactly. And especially in the countries where we lived after Singapore, it was not always easy to get Wi-Fi connections. So it was a treat if it worked. And of course we celebrated typical cultural things, and we're still keeping them alive. But indeed, treat your mother tongue, treat your heritage language in a positive way. we've been back for 2.5 years in the Netherlands. So that was the first time it was a challenge to get them into, especially Barbara, to get her into Dutch, the youngest one.
Yes.
And it really became a challenge in our last posting when we went from Russia to Kazakhstan, when there were no more peer, they didn't have a Dutch peer group anymore.
They were
the only ones over there. There were only two families with very small children.
Yes.
So, but from that moment on, they switched to English also at home.
So that then it became a challenge. And how
then it became. So we had, after Singapore, we moved to the Netherlands for 2.5 years and they had to find their way into the Dutch school system. But they were very young, so it went quite naturally. And I think that has been a great advantage, especially for the elder two, because they started to learn to read and write here in Dutch. So that was a good start. They had the third one didn't. She only attended kindergarten in the Netherlands. And I remember that her kindergarten teacher told us, oh, she has a very funny way of speaking Dutch. She will say, for example, butterfly in Dutch, vlinder, but she will pronounce it with an English accent. So she would say, oh, I've seen a flounder or something like that.
So it was already starting to mix.
She started to mix, definitely. We stayed in the Netherlands for 2.5 years and then quite unexpectedly, we moved again. We moved abroad to Russia. And there was a big expat community. So many, many Dutch and Flemish children also at the international school they attended. So they had friends that were Dutch. We had friends that were Dutch. So it was a language that we could easily keep alive. And there were a lot of Dutch activities. And I was, teaching and head of the local Dutch language school, which was which they were attending as well, apart from the day school, which was the international school. So that was still a very good time. They would Dutch was not a problem. They would happily attend the school first on Mondays or Tuesdays after day school. In their fourth and fifth year, it became a Saturday school, so Saturday morning was Dutch for them, was very clear. Saturday morning, you go to the Dutch school for 3 hours. They would meet their friends. They would eat ertessoep or skate an Elfstedentocht, because in Moscow, of course, in the winter, there's enough ice. So, they were very happy in that place. But then after 5 years, we moved to Kazakhstan. And then they were, first of all, they were older. So they... all three of them are quite close together in the sense of age. So I think puberty hit all three of them more or less at the same time. So the first thing, it started. They switched when we started living there from one day to another. They switched to talking English also at home. First of all, it was like, is it puberty maybe because they're pushing away their parents? Or was it a lack of peers because they were the only ones, the only Dutch children from that age living there? They were the only Dutch in primary and middle school at the school at all. And of course, they had been at a school environment where everything's in English for over 5 years. So we don't really know what the reason was. But they made a huge switch. It was all English, and it was really, really hard at home to have them talk Dutch. And we Dutch language-wise, we also had to make a switch because there was, of course, no local school where they could attend for 3 hours a week, which they could attend because of, if there are no Dutch people, there's no Dutch language school. So they had to go online. And in their case, I think it was a bit too much. They really were not happy with the online. So we kept the tradition of every Saturday morning. Sorry, guys, time for Dutch.
Yes.
But it was becoming a big and bigger struggle every day. As I said before, of course, my husband and I, we always kept talking Dutch, but they started talking English to us.
Yeah. Okay. They talk back in English.
Yeah. And among each other, they were talking English anyway. That was already, I think that switch already happened at the end of our time in Moscow. So I think after about four or five years, they started to switch their,
Yeah, but I understand. If I compare it to our case, we went away quite late in age, in puberty.
Yeah.
And then they went to international school, and at that moment our
children
they started talking English to each other. I was like, what's going on? The first time I heard it, I thought, okay, this is happening now.
Yeah, it is, and which is okay because they can easily express what they want to do and if what they want to say, their emotions and everything, they're developing in that way. But also, yeah, we wanted to keep up to the Dutch because we said, you never know when you go back.
Now, in current time, do your daughters mix languages? Like, you know,
they still do. We've been, like I said, we've been back for 5 years and all three of them followed a different path language-wise and school educational-wise. Maybe it's easier to if I tell you first what they've done after we got back. Our eldest, she had to finish her last 2 years of international school. Once we lived in Kazakhstan, I said, there were different reasons, but I said, no peer group, online Dutch, harsh weather conditions. I mean, 7 months a year below minus 20 degrees, very small classes. So I said, well, you know, for their social development as well, if we can move back, we'll move back. But then the eldest has to finish her last 2 years at an international school. So we'll only go back if we find a place for her with the right type of exams, because she was already in her exam system by then. And once she got the place, I moved back with the girls. Yeah. And my husband would follow a couple of months later, but due to Corona, that didn't happen. Long story. Anyhow, we got Corona. Back. So she finished. She was able to finish her last 2 years at an international school. Our second one, who still had to do 3 years of secondary school, she was convinced that she would be better off at a Dutch school system. So she decided to move to a Dutch school. And with the youngest one, we had no idea what to do with her. She had no idea herself. So we decided, okay, let's
try.
Let's start at Dutch school, because then you can still have 5 or 6 years at a Dutch secondary school, and it might be easier for you to integrate into the Dutch school system. I mean, and we had to pay the international school ourselves. So we said, okay, financially, I mean, that counts as well. If it works out fine, then we'll do that.
Yeah.
Well. And if you look at the girls now, of course, English kept on being their home language, even though we were back. And I think that has also had to do with Corona, because Corona hit quite early. So they stayed home after 5 or 6 months. So they were not able to make the switch to Dutch at home yet. And because of staying home for a year and a half, more or less, on and off, English, it kept being their home language. And I think, that made it, that extended their time to adjust to Dutch. So it took them longer to really pick up the Dutch language in the way that the Dutch people here speak. I mean, you can learn whatever you do in another country, but... Yeah. Yeah, the street language or the student language or whatever, it's so specific. That's something you can't learn at school. That's something you have to learn in real life. Our eldest, even though she had international education most of her life, she said, no, I want to study in Dutch and I'll go and study law, which worked out fine. So she moved to Utrecht, fully immersed in Dutch student life in every way possible. I mean, incredible. So language wise she made a switch, but even now, though it is getting much, much better now, but you see that the structure or the way she builds her sentences sometimes is still mixed up. And of course I see that her spelling, it has improved tremendously. It was already okay because of all the effort we put into it abroad, but it really improved when we got back. but you still see that she needs help with it. And but she's on top now that she's been into that Dutch university system for 3 years. She's really getting there now, but it takes time, yeah, and effort.
And
the
effort,
second one went to a Dutch school system, like I said, and that was quite a challenge. I mean, the first couple of months, I was redoing my school time for sure. I had to help her out with everything, and it was getting used to the Dutch culture, but also helping her out with, you know, you can learn a language, but if you have to do a test for biology or for math, it's all very language different. As well. And that's not the language that you can learn abroad in just 3 hours a week.
No.
So that took a lot of effort, but she got there in the end, and she's happily studying all in Dutch now as well.
As well.
Yeah. Wow. So very consciously made the decision. No, I want to, I want to be with Dutch people just to feel more Dutch. And the funny thing is, so they've both been living and studying in Utrecht now for a couple of years, and they say, well, I look Dutch, I feel Dutch, but sometimes I feel like an outsider as well, because they still do, because they miss, you know, they've never been in a hockey team in the Netherlands, they have never been, they've never seen all those things on television or heard the music. I mean, they're catching up, and they're really there's always a part missing, and that will always stay like that.
No. Okay.
They cannot connect with everything that's being spoken about in their friends groups.
And do they feel it as a loss or something that's just a fact for them?
Yeah, no, they sometimes feel they say, well, it feels as a loss because we can't connect with history in the Netherlands, with the history they have. They still have their VVV'tjes, their big friends from the past, and that's something that we're really missing. But on the other hand, they also say, yeah, we have experiences, and sometimes we feel a bit older than the Dutch people. We've seen more, we've experienced more, but it's something you can't really talk about with your peer group. And it's something they are carrying inside, and they can't really do something with it. But they also it has pros and cons. And I think the older they get, the more they start to see the pros. And once we got back from Kazakhstan, started living in the Netherlands, and it was not easy with Corona and everything. They were really, they had their angry and moody periods, especially towards us as parents. What did you do to us? Yeah. But I think right now, when they're in their 20s, they start to realize, wow, we've had so many opportunities and experiences, and we have multicultural friends living abroad. And of course, it's sad that we can't always see them, but it's also the world is getting easier. It's easier to travel and to meet up. Yeah. And then our youngest, well, she started at a Dutch school, didn't work out. We did switch her. She switched back to the international school, and that was, I think the best thing we could do for her. It took her a year to get used to that system again, because she was behind then, because there was a gap.
Yeah.
But for her, I think it was the best way. To end her school.
She works better with the international.
Yeah. And she's now very happy. She says, even though it was not the best academic experience being back at a Dutch school, I'm very happy that I've had the experience of being at a Dutch school for 2 years, because I understand the Dutch culture much better. And I can feel more connected to Dutch people. And that's what she experienced, actually, when she went back to the international school, because she said, I met a lot of international students with a Dutch background.
Yes.
And they probably have problems now, because they started studying in a Dutch environment, and they run into problems that, she says, I'm already aware of.
I know. Yeah. Well, that's great. So now you see how different children are. Like, I have less experience internationally, actually, when I compare it to your story. And they're really into the international studies, but they have Dutch studies, but in English. And
it's interesting, because I have where I'm working, we'll get to that later maybe as well. But many of my colleagues have been living abroad, which with their children as well, mainly at primary school age. And all those children coming back are very much interested in international studying, going abroad for their studies. Yeah. And our children, all three of them say, I think I'll stick to the Netherlands and I'll never go abroad during my studies. I don't know if it's, change, but they are so aware that they have to build their Dutch identity. And it probably has to do with the fact that they've been abroad longer. I don't know.
Okay, so you've talked about how they feel and how they're benefiting and all the pros and the cons, let's say being an expert kid. But what do you see as the benefits for your daughters being multilingual now?
I think that first of all, they have a much more open view to other cultures.
Yes.
Because language is not just words, it's about it's about traditions, it's about gestures, it's about the way people look, and they are more sensitive to the posture of people and what they're trying, even without knowing a language, because that's how they had to survive in for example Russia or Kazakhstan. They still had to understand what people were trying to express. So I think they're more understanding to other cultures. Mm-hmm.
They call it so beautiful, culture awareness.
Yeah, cultural awareness definitely developed more.
Yeah.
They've really lived among other cultures. So also within the Netherlands, they are... they are maybe more opinionated about things that have to do with migrants or everything. They have different views, and I think they can build bridges in the future. The something we really need. And academically, what they say and what they see as well is they probably make more connections because they can connect more subjects, because they've had input from many perspectives, especially because of moving from school to school, where they've met so many teachers with so many different backgrounds, so many educational systems. I mean, it's confusing, but it also brought them a whole different view on many political, social, or other subjects.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about your professional background, because it's connected all the way, and not only as teacher, but now at the NOA, it's of course only Dutch children. But can you tell a little bit more about your role and what you enjoy most in your job?
Yes, I definitely can. And like I said, I started off with a business administration background. Later, I became a primary teacher and working at NOB, that's Nederlands Onderwijs Buitenland, it's the perfect mix of both of them, especially in the role I have, because as an administrative advisor, I help all the Dutch school organizations abroad. Yes. Meaning full day schools, there are about 15 full day schools connected to NOB.
Yes.
We've got online educators connected to NOB, but most part are small or bigger or very big so-called NTC locations or Dutch language and cultural schools, physical schools all over the world, and they offer after-school Dutch languages for about 3 hours a week, or integrated within international school systems. Yes. So all those teachers working at those locations worldwide, all the teachers, but also the coordinators or directors, and also the administrative boards, I help them out with all kinds of problems, financial, juridical, organizational, all those things.
Yes.
So it's a nice mix of having an education background and a business background.
Yes. And your background as an expat.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, I have to say, my own professional background, my experience as a teacher, as a school coordinator, as a parent, I've seen so many different school systems, and my experience as during all the professional trainings I was able to attend in summertime, organized by NOBE in the Netherlands. All those things combined my passion and my drive to start working for NOBE and give something back to all the schools, because a big part of the schools are run more or less by volunteers. Yes. I mean, very little salaries for the teachers, and all the administrative boards, at least in most cases, are all volunteers. So I'm happy to help them out.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. You have the perfect combination of all your experience, work wise and private wise. So beautiful. You told me a little bit about an organization, what might be interesting for our international expats.
HLA, that's called the Heritage Language Coalition in Europe. And that's, I have to say, I connected with them just a very short while ago. And it's an organization of heritage language programs, so all the schools in the Netherlands that offer heritage language education, for example, Russian, Polish, Romanian, Spanish, whatsoever, can connect to them. And it's actually the same as we are doing for all the Dutch schools abroad. Okay. They are in Europe focusing on all the language schools that offer local languages in other countries. So
I'll put the link in the show notes so people can. Great. Thank you for explaining it.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just ran into them because we're organizing something at NOBE where we got connected. So for me, it's new as well, but they are quite active, especially in the Eindhoven region, because there are many, many expats living in Eindhoven.
Great. We've talked about so much already.
Yeah,
I love it. I love the story and your experience in all the way, and your daughter's.
I'm just thinking, is there something I should add, or
that's what I'm thinking about. Did we miss something? Did I forget to ask you something what's important for our listeners?
I'm just thinking what as a, you know, for us it was always in important to keep the keep Dutch alive at home. And I think if you turn it around and look at the expats living in the Netherlands, and I think it's very they have to be aware that it's very important to keep your mother tongue alive. And it sometimes the idea lives that it's it will confuse them and it will have an impact on their academic skills. But I think in the end, it actually, and that's something they have to be aware of, it actually helps. It's very good to keep your mother tongue at a high level. But then if you want to do that, you really have to put effort into the language. It's not only speaking and reading. It's the more you do, look for formal education, if possible, for your local language, for your heritage language, your home language. And what we really tried to do was during summer, which was always a long holiday period in the Netherlands at international schools. We always tried to go back for a couple of weeks to the Netherlands or stay abroad somewhere in Europe and invite Dutch friends so that they would be immersed in Dutch as much as possible.
That's fine.
We let family and grandparents come over, especially grandparents worked out fine because the grandparents couldn't or didn't want to speak English with them.
No, that's perfect. Actually.
Yeah, so that worked out fine. That's definitely something you, and we invested in them. You know, we bought the tickets and said, come over because first of all, we're happy to have you over, but of course, it's also helpful for the kids. And when they were younger, we always sent them to summer camps for a week in the Netherlands. And nothing like language summer camps. That's something that people start to focus on. But we said, yeah, well, what would you like to do? So if you want to play hockey, if you want to go sailing, just give it a try. But you're among Dutch children. And, you know, it's good to have some feeling with the local of the way they interact with each other. And because it is different in the expat environment.
It can be a bubble.
Yeah, it can. Yeah. So it was good to expose them to other Dutch children which are not living abroad. Yeah, and what I always say, if you have if you get a dog, raise it in Dutch as well. So we said our dog only understands Dutch commands. So maybe that's all the time.
Oh, that's really funny. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah, we have dogs as well. And yeah, we raised Dutch. Yeah, Dutch. Yeah, I never thought about it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And what would be, to end it, what would be a piece of advice for expats parents who are staying for a longer time in the Netherlands? And for their children, how to help them learn Dutch and integrate in the Netherlands, because integration, in my opinion, stands or falls with knowing the language of the country, of your host country.
I think the good thing about the Netherlands, but it's always hard to say so. I mean, I am Dutch, so it is easier, but at least there are so many opportunities here to attend local sports club, music. There are so many activities that children can easily attend, so they are exposed to Dutch. Another thing is that children, especially if I compare it to where we've lived, I think expat children in the Netherlands can easily move around on their own in traffic, in shops. They have a lot of freedom. So in that way, you know, every sign, every whatever they see on the road is in Dutch. So they get a lot of exposure. On the other hand, probably if they talk to people on the street, ask for directions or whatsoever, people will easily answer in English. But not everyone can, so I think it's easier. They will pick up Dutch from their surroundings, please expose them to those things. And what I always said, wherever we've lived, I led, as a mom, I led by example by studying the local language.
Yes.
And I put effort in it just to show the children that, you know, it's nice to speak your own language, but it's also important to put effort in the country where you live in to be able to socially move around.
Beautiful. Thank you. That I love this advice.
Okay.
I do the same wherever I go. Thank you so much.
Thank you for all the effort you put into your Dutch language school. It's so nice that you give the opportunity for children to develop a language. In every language opens another window to the world. So
yes,
beautiful.
What a beautiful end of this great episode. Thank you for listening to Praat Nederlands met me. Until next time. Dag!